Welcome to God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in Southeast Iowa. We want to thank you for listening today, and we pray that you'll be blessed by both hearing God's Word as well as having it applied to your life and your heart. Please open in your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians, and again, we'll be continuing our series through Philippians at chapter 1. And this morning's sermon will be specifically verses 19 or the end of 18 through 26, but we'll be reading chapter 1, 1 through 26 to begin. This is God's Word. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how I greatly long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For indeed, some preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. When I was at Geneva College, one of my best friends, unsurprisingly, was also a veteran, and he and I were in this history class as co-combatants against our teacher. We were a real pain to her. But it was amazing. One day, about year three, my really good friend Aaron just disappeared. No clue where he went, no clue what happened. He just stopped coming to classes, and we were We were confused. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know where he was. And then we found out that he hadn't been feeling well for a couple weeks. And he went down to the hospital in Pittsburgh and they diagnosed him, this 25-year-old man, with acute leukemia. And my friend, with two young children, all of a sudden had to face life or death. And I remember when I went to his house after he had come out of this chemotherapy and I was talking to him and we were spending time together, and Aaron said something to me that I didn't expect. He had said, "You know, Brian, when I was going through that chemo, there were multiple times, at least twice, where I really just wanted to die." And I thought, "Lord, just let me die." And this is shocking. Aaron was a Marine. Marines don't ask to die. But he knew that there was joy, in Jesus Christ and his death. But see, Aaron also faced this tension because there was this joy in Jesus Christ if he died, but he had two young children and he knew that they needed him. He knew that they needed their father. And so Aaron found himself torn. Do I die and go to Jesus, which he really wanted to do? Or do I stay alive and I know my children need me, and so that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to fight? And this is the same heart we find here in Paul. For me to die is Christ. Or for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul finds himself torn between the two. If he dies, he gets to go see his Savior who he loves. And yet, he knows the Philippians need him. He knows there's fruitful work to do. What's he going to choose? He can't declare. He can't say, "This is what God's going to have me do." So he's torn. He finds himself, as one writer said, he's walking down a path and there's walls on either side of him. And if he goes to this side, he's crushed. And if he goes to this side, he's crushed. And so he just has to keep walking the path. This is a good choice and a good choice. Do you buy the Kubota or do you buy the John Deere? You got the money for both. Not a bad choice on either side, but which is he going to choose? Life or death? He can't declare which one he's going to. But in your own life, Paul teaches us what it's like to have gospel priorities. Where he finds joy, where he finds satisfaction, where is his priorities in his life and in his death. And your call this morning is you must also have gospel priorities. Have gospel priorities. And that first priority in your life is that you must live for Christ. Live for Christ. Look with me at verses 18 and 19. Yes, this is the end of verse 18. After "I rejoice," there should be a period. Yes, and will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In verse 19, there's a question we have, for I know that this, what is this? What's he talking about? If you've ever been an English teacher or read a paper that was poorly written, people use this and that all the time, and you don't know what this or that is. Well, here, this is talking about verse 12. Look up with me at verse 12. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul is saying, yes, and will rejoice, for I know that my chains, my trial, all the things that have happened to me will actually turn out for my deliverance. They'll turn out for my salvation. See, Paul is facing trial for Jesus Christ for crimes he did not commit. Why is Paul in chains? Because the Jews lied about him, saying that he was causing problems in Jerusalem. Paul is suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. And Paul, the rabbi here, uses the exact same language as Job does in chapter 13. Turn in your Bibles with me. Keep your thumb in Philippians. We'll be back. But turn in your Bibles with me to Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13. You can find that on page 459. Job chapter 13. Behold, my eye has seen all this, my ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. Remember, this is Job. He's responding back to his friends who are lying against him, accusing him of all sorts of sins, and this is his response. But I would speak about the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, you are worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. Now hear my reasoning, and heed my pleadings of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for Him? Will you show partiality for Him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when He searches you out? Or can you mock Him as one who mocks a man? He will surely rebuke you if you secretly show partiality. Will not His excellence make you afraid, and the dread of Him fall upon you? Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Hold your peace with me, and let me speak. Then let come on me what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though He slay me, yet I will trust in Him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before Him. He also shall be my salvation. I'm going to read that again, 13:16. He also shall be my salvation. For a hypocrite would not come before Him. Listen carefully to my speech and to my declaration for your ears. See, now I have prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? If I hold my tongue, I perish. Job is contending with his friends because they're lying against him, laying false accusations against him. And Paul says, shh, lock it up. Be quiet. God knows me. You don't me. And I will stand before God on trial. He says, and though he might slay me, I will trust in him. And then he says, and he will be my salvation. This is the exact word for word phrase we find in Philippians 1:19. For I know that this will turn out for my salvation. Paul has in mind that he is like Job, being falsely accused, and though the Lord might slay him, it will turn out to his salvation. Paul will be vindicated on the final day. Paul will not be put to shame because he is in chains for Jesus Christ, and he is not ashamed of why he's in chains for Jesus Christ. Remember, that's what he told us in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Paul is not ashamed of why he's in chains, and God will deliver him on the final day. Paul is consumed with Jesus Christ. Even though people are accusing him, even though people are preaching against him, even though he's in chains, what does Paul have joy in? Verse 18, yes, and I will rejoice, because even his chains are going to work out for his deliverance. Paul eats, sleeps, and breathes Jesus Christ. His highest goal, his most lofty desire, his deepest joy is Jesus Christ. Paul wants Christ. Paul even says for him to live is Christ. Look with me at verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Paul's life is completely about living and being consumed with the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ, his Lord. Do you long for Jesus Christ? Is he your joy? Is he your greatest desire? Is Jesus Christ the most beautiful thing in your life? It was for Paul, and it must be for you. Paul's entire life, your entire life, must be consumed with your joy in Jesus Christ. This is why Colossians 3:4 tells us that Christ, who is my life, or Galatians 2:20, for it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Are you so filled with the joy of Jesus Christ that you can say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me? You can, Christian, because His Holy Spirit is in you. Yes, and you can rejoice because you're going to have a vindication. You're going to be saved. You're going to be delivered because Jesus Christ did His work for you. It's Paul's greatest joy. John Piper, a Baptist preacher up in Minnesota, is famous for saying that God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. Are you most satisfied in Him? Is He your greatest joy? Is He your greatest prize? Is He your highest desire? When you get up in the mornings, you're going to have to fight for this. You're going to have to fight for that joy. When you get up in this morning, that broken down piece of machinery, it's going to try to steal that joy. Your kids whining are going to try to steal that joy. Your work that's bearing down upon you are going to try to steal that joy. Your family member who has these problems and they're laying them on your shoulders, they're going to try to steal that joy. You got to fight for that joy. You got to fight for your joy in Jesus Christ. When you're at work and the pressures of this world are heavy on you, you got to return to your joy in Jesus. When the heat of temptation is unbearable upon you, and you feel like you can't stand the weight of the pressure that sin, the fleshly desires upon you, you got to run to your joy. You're not going to beat sin by gritting your teeth. It's because you have joy that the Holy Spirit's in you. And that Jesus Christ loves you. When you're in isolation because of loneliness, it's heavy on you. Your soul can be warmed because you have Jesus Christ. Joy in Jesus must be and is what defines the life of a Christian. Your life will show this priority. When the joy of Jesus Christ is your highest priority, it's going to show in your life. It showed in Paul's life. Look with me at verses 22, 24, 25, and 26. We find this gospel-centered joy and how it works out in Paul's life. Verse 22, Philippians 1, 22. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. And then verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. See, Jesus loves his people. Paul loves Jesus, so Paul is going to love his people. Let me say it again. Jesus loves his people. Paul, the pastor, loves Jesus, so Paul loves God's people. And that's what we find there, isn't it? He's torn. He really wants to be with Jesus Christ. But what does Paul end up saying he's going to probably end up doing? He's going to stay with them because it's more needful for them. Because he loves them. And he wants to see fruit from their lives and fruit from that ministry. Paul is willing to stay and care for the people, to minister with them and for them, because it would mean fruitful, God-honoring, Christ-exalting, Jesus-saving ministry. So Paul's willing to stay. But why is Paul willing to stay? Because he knows that it's glorifying to God. and needful for God's people. See, his priority is what God wants. And because he's most satisfied in God, he's willing to do whatever God wants, even if that means wait. Wait to die, Paul. Joy in Jesus is your guiding star, your true north, your direction in life. The joy of Jesus Christ must be these things, but you've got to fight for it. You've got to fight for it. When your children are hard to deal with, and you who have grown children, you know this doesn't end. When your children are hard to deal with, are you still going to have joy in Jesus? Or is that going to rob your joy? When work is difficult, will you still have joy in Jesus Christ? When your health falls apart, will you still have joy in Jesus Christ? If, Lord forbid, your children would die, would you still have joy in Jesus Christ? If a natural disaster came through and destroyed absolutely everything you owned, would you still have joy in Jesus Christ? If you were to be mocked and to be told to shut up because of the word of Jesus Christ, would you still have joy in Jesus Christ? If you were put in chains and shackled because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you still have joy in Jesus? If you were beaten within an inch of your life, will you still have joy in Jesus? If you're facing certain death, will you still have joy in Jesus? Every one of those things are things that happened to Job and happened to Paul, and some of them will happen to you. Will you have joy in Jesus Christ no matter the circumstance? Because your number one priority in this life, what you're most satisfied in, what you have most joy in, is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gift that he is to you. Jesus is so great that Paul wanted to be with him. The desire of Jesus is why he wrote that second half of verse 21, that famous passage, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul is willing to die for Jesus because he loves Jesus. So your second priority is to be willing to die for Jesus. Be willing to die for Jesus. When we were back in Beaver Falls in August, a lady we dearly loved, Madge Adams, Mrs. Adams. We loved Madge Adams. She was born and raised in Clarinda, moved out to Beaver Falls later. Husband was a professor at Geneva. Madge had a sweet spot in our congregation's heart. She was our oldest member of our congregation. We loved going to her farm and having picnics. We loved talking to her. She always had, if you would ask her, though her eyes were blind, though she was weak and frail, you would ask her, "Hi, Mrs. Adams, how are you doing today?" She says, "Oh, I'm blessed." Because she had a joy that was deeper than anything else. And when we were in Beaver Falls, Mrs. Adams died. And one of her sons, I was amazed, I asked, "How are you doing?" And he said, "I'm glad Mom's with Jesus." Because that's where she really wanted to be. Paul's joy, even in death, was that he would be with Christ. He couldn't contain himself. And this overflows in his heart in verse 23. "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ," which is far better. The New King James Version, almost every translation smooths this out, because Paul is just heaping words upon each other. If we read it literally in the Greek, it would say, verse 23 would say, "To be with Christ is much more better." If we were to read it literally, or in kids' talk, "To be with Christ is much greater goodest." It's just the best thing ever. Paul is sharing both his mind and his heart with the congregation in Philippi, and they understand it. He's saying, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." To die is even better. And they know it. And they get it. Because they love Jesus. And Paul loved Jesus. Paul longed for Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Paul had only gotten a blinding glimpse of Jesus. And he wanted more. Paul wanted to see more of Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to love Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. And this has been the hope of Christians for thousands of years. This is why the gospel still goes forth today, because the joy of Jesus Christ changes our priorities. It changes why you would even want to die. The world tries to get away from death. Anything possible to not die. But you, Christian, have joy, even in death. Because for you to die is gain. You gain Christ, all of Him. This is why the nations of the world, we saw this in the 20th century, communists really hated Christianity. They really hated it. More Christians died in the 20th century, people who do statistics think that more Christians died in the 20th century than died in centuries and centuries and centuries before that at the hands of communism, because Christians had a joy and had an allegiance that the communists couldn't do anything about. They would threaten them, they would imprison them, they would kill for them, or just kill them because they couldn't contain them, because what are they going to do to them? This sentence here, verse 23, is a major one. For me to be with Christ is far better. You mean you could kill that person, but they don't care because they get to do the thing they want to do, which is be with Jesus? You're never going to stop something like that. Yeah, you love your family. Every one of you knows this tension. You love your family, but what's your priority? Is it your joy in Jesus Christ? That He's far greater? Every one of you knows what it's like things in this world, to like your house, to like your job, to like your dog. But do you have a greater joy than that? You do. Christian, your greater joy that can never be taken from you is the joy you have in Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. It's got to be your priority. You got to remember it. You got to remind yourself of it. If you've found yourself, your heart being cold to this joy, and you've forgotten what it's like to have God's love and joy warm your soul, get on your knees and plead with Him that He would restore the joy of your salvation. He'll do it. Will you die for Jesus? Will you take up your cross for Christ? Abraham was willing to do it. He didn't know what would happen to him when he left Ur, and yet he did it. Moses didn't know what would happen to him when he walked in front of Pharaoh. Remember, Moses was under a death penalty for killing an Egyptian, and yet he had a joy for God, and out of that joy he had obedience, and he was willing to go before Pharaoh. Because there was a bigger priority. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a bigger priority than the king of Babylon, and they were willing to die because their joy was in their Savior, their joy was in their God, not in their earthly life. Daniel was willing to face the pit filled with lions than to not pray to the God who gave him joy and was his Lord. You're part of a great story. That you have joy in your Lord. Rest there. Stay there. Fight for it. Remain there. Pray for it. What will be the priorities of your life? Is your love for Jesus all-encompassing, consuming, so much a part of the very fiber of who you are that you would say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Will you be consumed with joy for Jesus and reorient all the priorities of your life around that joy? You can. It's the Christian way. Let's pray.
Oh God, thank you for this joy. Thank you for saving us and loving us. Thank you for giving us Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who wells up in our hearts, Lord, and guides us and leads us and comforts us and applies this joy to us. Lord, hide ourselves in you. Lord, and work in us that we would have a desire to share this joy with the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in Morning Sun, Iowa. We pray that you would be blessed as you grow in your love for God, your love for His Word, as well as your love for His people. Until next week, God bless you.